Hello, Sunday Night's Main Event listeners. Jason Agnew here, and we've got one of our podcasts that we do on a weekly basis for you coming up next. It is a free sample of The Old Fucks. Yeah, that's right. So it's All Elite Weekly, but it's my longtime co-host, Dan the Mouth Lavransky, along with his partner, Joe Aguinaldo. They are The Old Fucks parodying The Young Bucks, and they're giving you a Dynamite review. So remember, each and every week, these guys get together to review Dynamite. To get this podcast every week, just sign up at patreon.com/SNMEradio. You'll get this show and get daily shows covering the world of pro wrestling. So with that in mind, let's get into it. Dan Lavransky, Joe Aguinaldo, they are The Old Fucks reviewing Dynamite.
Probably not what you would expect to hear off the top of a wrestling podcast. For those of you who are checking this out because this is the free podcast, so we can lure you in this week, you might be going, what the hell was that off the top? Well, I'll explain. Dan the Mouth Lavransky here. And today, my regular partner in old fuckery, Joe Aguinaldo, could not be here. He had a family emergency, nothing serious. His son did something to his ankle, and he had to take him to emergency to have it checked out. So Joe is trapped in the emergency room at some major Toronto hospital right now.
Hospital. So medical facility. Medical facility.
Right, yeah, right. I forgot my terminology, right. So, yes, as you can hear there, Boris is going to jump in here for us, and we're going to run through a really important episode of Dynamite, three-year anniversary go-home show. But you're probably going, but what's that got to do with the song off the top? That was a band that was called the Lords of London. They were a Toronto band from the 60s. That was like the one single they released. It's called Cornflakes and Cream. It was a big hit in 1967 in Canada. No, nowhere else in Canada. And it's got absolutely nothing to do with this episode of Dynamite. I'm not being smart. I'm not making a joke. You know, I'm not like Jay, where he's always using music to make a comment on what he's talking about. I'm playing this because, you know this, Boris, I like music. I'm a collector of music. I have my own radio show that we have here as well. For those of you that are listening for the first time, one of the shows you get if you sign on is a weekly music show that I do. So I come home and I'm riding my bike. I had a pretty long day at work. I was there over 10 hours. And I come home, I go to the beer store, I get some beer, I'm all set up, I'm going to talk to Boris, cool. And I'm putting my bike away in the backyard, and there's this table by the garage, and sitting on the table is some old 45s. It's like a box, like 45s for the you youngsters, where kids, where that was records back in the 50s and 60s, is when you wanted music, you didn't download it or go to Spotify, you bought a 45 of the song. So someone had left a box of 45s by my garage. And it wasn't just a box. Back then, they would make special boxes where you could keep your 45s in the boxes. And the box was open and filled with 45s. So I'm like, well, where the hell did this come from? I like it now, I guess, because I have my annual huge record yard sale every year. Everyone in the neighborhood seems to know that I like records, and neighbors often come around and just leave stuff on in my backyard for me. But that's not what happened this time. I got a message, and my friend Dave Martin, he's a great Toronto comedian. You may have seen him. He does a lot of performing. He's always on the stage. And he found them. He got them at his uncle's, out of his uncle's storage or something. So one of the 45s that was in there was that song we heard off the top, The Lords of London. And it's a pretty rare 45 to come across. So it was just one of those things where, you know, like, wow, something like this just happening out of the blue and just kind of flipping your whole day around. And So I just thought that was a cool story and a cool song. And there you go.
That's awesome. I like that. I like that a lot. Like, it's you know, especially when you've had a long day, weird day, which seems to be the theme for a lot of us right now. But that's really cool, especially, like, like you said, something so rare, right?
Yeah, that was a total score. You know, the nerd I am, too, I've already played it on the turntable in the whole half hour that I've been home. And 45s used to get pretty beat up. I mean, the things people were using back then to play them on were not exactly protecting the records. And a lot of them, but it's not that beat up. Like, it's playable. It doesn't have any skips in it. So I was actually quite happy to score that. So there you go. And I was quite happy to sit down and watch this episode. Dynamite, the go-home show, the big pay-per-view is this weekend, and we will be doing the after-party show. That's another thing that you get hooked in on if you're become a patron of SNME. We're going to do a live broadcast podcast party right after the pay-per-view ends, whatever time it ends on Sunday night. It'll be me and Joe, of course. I'm suspecting Boris will be there. Mark Andrade's not running it this time, right?
No.
Is
Mark's
it Brad?
Away. It's going to hopefully, whether he knows this or not, Brad will be running it.
Well, maybe we shouldn't be announcing that yet. Anyways, yeah, we're going to have the big Double or Nothing after party. We'll run through the whole pay-per-view, talk about it, get your thoughts as well. Should be pretty exciting. I have to admit, I'm really pumped for this pay-per-view. I think they've done a great job of getting most of the stuff over that needs to be done. And this was the last show. Now, the other thing about this show is they pushed this as a 3-year anniversary show. And it was. It's in proper linear time. It is the 3rd anniversary, back to where it all started here. For AEW. So it is a landmark, but honestly, Boris, very little 3rd anniversary anything. Like, I thought at least maybe a couple video packages of highlights, moments from that first show in the same arena, but like really like nothing. Like, no one even really talked about it.
Yeah, that was kind of weird, right? Like, but here's the thing, right? I think AEW, and they're notorious for this sometimes, is trying to do too much in too little amount of time. So I'm kind of glad that they focused on Sunday's pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Right? I give them flack for, like, going all over the place. It's like wrestling HD, ADHD, right? Like, and
that's
then
the but style.
Exactly. But even then, like, with the closing angle of the show, it was kind of like, here we go, you know, already talking and setting up the next big show, and you guys haven't even gone home for this show yet. So, but whatever. We'll talk about that later. I have some thoughts about that. Nothing bad, but it's just, you know, sometimes AEW needs to focus a little more.
Well, yeah, I find with AEW that a lot of the stuff is you know, sometimes is nitpicking, for a better word, man. Overall, they're getting the big picture done properly, but there are moments where you just kind of scratch your head and go, and that's one of them there. Like, really? You could have had the 3rd anniversary next week.
Yep.
Like, so, yep. Anyways. We get the show started here with the big, very big storyline match leading into the pay-per-view and the whole Wardlow-MJF saga. And it's Wardlow and Sean Spears in the cage match. This was another one of the stipulations MJF made so that Wardlow could have the match with him at the pay-per-view. And he has to win this match to get MJF at the pay-per-view. And he has to win it, I think. Doesn't he lose his career or fall off a cliff or something like that? MJF is the referee. Actually, Tony Schiavone actually called him a humanoid, which is great for us, all us old school Bobby Heenan fans.
Yep.
Great that was to hear great. That. And, you know, as we've talked about many times, Wardlow's got the total Goldberg reaction coming out. The fans even chant his name in the same timbre and pitch as they did with Goldberg. Of course, he's out with the security. He's cuffed. MJF checks him because he is the ref. He acts like he can't find the cuffs. So Spears attacks him at this point, and MJF calls for the bell. So they're actually making the guy work the match in cuffs. So, I mean, it kind of played out just as you expect. MJF lays the boots to him. Him and Spears double team him, of course. The great power spot came when MJF spit in Wardlow's face. That was it. He loses it. He snaps the cuffs. He throws Spears all over the place. He tried to do the senton Tomiko, but he kind of pretty well missed Spears. But MJF, of course, wouldn't count him when he had the pinfall. He went to give Spears a power bomb, but MJF gave him the low blow. And then Spears did the C4, but Wardlow did kick out from that. Spears gets out of the cage. He gets a chair. MJF holding Wardlow at one point. Spears goes for the chair shot. Wardlow ducks, and he corked MJF hard. It looked pretty hard. And he's
completely unprotected. It was completely unprotected.
I was going to say, I did not see hands go up on that one, right? And it was hard. And he went down. He sold it for the whole rest of it. He was out the whole time. This prompted the crowd to do a "you fucked up" chant. And, of course, Wardlow comes back, gives Spears the power bombs. I think he gave him three power bombs, and then the ref came down, and then he gave him one more power bomb on the chair, and he just stood on top of him for the pin. And like I said, MJF just sat there the whole time, just sold the whole thing. And Wardlow was actually going to pick him up, power bomb him, but security runs in. Of course, he lays them out, and this was great. It was like the clowns out of the clown car, and he's just friggin' laying them all out left, right, and center. He power bombed one of them into the cage, and the poor guy slides down the side of the cage between the ring and the cage. They're probably not a very nice spot. At this point, though, MJF is out of the cage, and Wardlow, he just climbed the cage to show that he's mean and big and bad and nasty, and crowd loved it. The crowd was really into this whole opening segment.
Yeah, this was what, just under 7 minutes, 8 minutes, something like that, and it worked fine. It was exactly what you needed for it to be. Spears got enough offense in. You still made Wardlow look super, super strong. My one nitpick is the chair shot on regular TV. Having an unprotected chair shot like that, you know, is just, I think we're over that era.
Well, yeah, I mean, for sure, you know, it was such a common occurrence at one time, right? And, I mean, but you have to kind of also put that on MJF, too. I mean,
yeah.
I bet you he's, you know, more than you criticizing the chair shot, you should criticize MJF because he's deliberately keeping his hands down.
That's the thing. You I'm kind of criticizing. I'm criticizing the entire situation, right? Like, yeah. I think you just got to be smarter at this point. Like, cool, you're tough. You want to make it look cool. I know you're hardcore in the sense of, like, old school, right? But we live in an era now where we know what can happen with chair shots.
All right, we see the Jericho Appreciation Society backstage. Garcia says at Double or Nothing this weekend, the Jericho Appreciation Society will show you how violent sports entertainment can be. They run into a tech backstage. He's actually got a Moxley t-shirt on, and they all freak out. Now, this, I didn't like this. Poor tech backstage, wearing a Moxley shirt, Jericho threw a fireball in his face. All right? This is like the word bitch. This is like chair shots. This is like...
lights turning off.
Lights turning off, crazy things. Use them sparingly. Sparingly. Fred Blassie did not run around fireballing every guy he saw. The Sheik did not run. Well, actually, the Sheik, that's actually, he probably did fireball almost every guy because his matches were so over the top. But it's like sparingly. Well, that's what killed the Sheik anyways. He went too nuts. But sparingly. I didn't like that. I thought... I would have much rather seen a beatdown. He's a tech. You're going to waste a fireball on a tech?
Yeah, that was exactly. I understand what they were going for in the comedy and this entire angle. I kind of feel like, you know, maybe this is us as like the hardcores, right? Them constantly doing the same thing is also a dig at sports entertainment, right? Sports entertainment is about repetition.
That's true.
I kind of think it's that double entendre.
Okay, fair enough. So Tony comes out he's in the ring, Tony Schiavone, and it's time for the CM Punk Hangman Page face-off in the ring. They both come out. Tony asks Punk if he's ready to become the next champion. Of course, Punk always milks this whenever he comes out, never talks right away, lets the fans chant for a bit. He said the biggest moment of his career happened right here in Vegas, and I'm grateful for the position I'm in, and I'm grateful to fans around the world. He goes, I will start Double or Nothing walking in as challenger, but very respectfully walking out as champion. And respect, that's been the whole kind of thing here. Tony asks Hangman Page, says, hey, man, the confidence level of your challenger is off the charts. And Page said, I said exactly what I'm going to do to you. Do I stutter? He goes, there is nothing you can do to take the title from me. And Tony said to Punk, "Well, there you have it. We have a determined champion." And Punk said he doesn't know why Paige is taking this so personally. He goes, "You're a champ for a reason, and you're possibly the toughest guy on the roster." He goes, "And there's a locker full of room waiting to get their shot." He goes, "It's just business. It's my title shot. It's not personal." And Paige said, "3 weeks ago, I said what I would do to you. I said I'd destroy you, annihilate you, embarrass you, and I did not mean it Double or Nothing. I mean right now." He goes, "I have been waiting for this for months." He goes, "This was funny." He goes, "I would imagine sitting cross-legged on that ramp and lighting a pipe bomb and letting it roll right down to blow up in your face." He goes, "How good that would feel, and how full circle for you right here in Vegas." Crowd solidly behind Punk. But Paige says, "But now in the moment, I realize I can't do it. Not because I think I'd get fired when I go back through the curtain, and not because I'm afraid of you, but the more I thought about it, what I wanted to say about you, the more I realized it was just like what you would do. And I don't think fighting your pettiness, cowardice, is the right way to go." He goes, "But I will tell you face to face what I think." He goes, "I don't hate you. I almost pity you. I have no respect for what you've done since you got here. I don't think you understand what it means to be champion after all these years. It's not just what happens in this ring. It's about what happens when the red light goes off and you go through the curtain. It's about quiet moments when you think no one is watching." He goes, "That's what makes a champion." He goes, "You talk a big game about workers' rights." He goes, "You've shown the exact opposite since you got here. He says, love and care about this place, and this is my home. And at Double or Nothing, I won't be just defending this title against you. I'll be defending AEW from you." So they're basically right nose to nose by this point. They're just right in each other's faces. Yeah. And at this point, they just kind of stop. And they stare at each other for a bit.
Yeah.
And Punk picks it up once more and says, "Honestly, I don't know why you're so angry and why you're taking it so personally." He goes, "You're confusing me and you're talking in circles with a big riddle. But if you're so upset that I'm here, you have to do something about it on Sunday. Win, lose, or draw, I respect you." He goes, "But remember those roads you traveled to get here? They were paved by me. This house was built from trees I chopped down." He goes, "The world you traveled to get here and create AEW happened because I gave you the blueprint." He goes, "You will shake my hand on Sunday. And as a matter of fact, you're going to shake my hand right now." He says, "All this misplaced anger. You're mad at yourself, not me. Shake my hand." And Paige just gets in his face again, really close up. So Punk just pushes him back, and then Paige knocks him down. And that's kind of where they let it come to an end.
Yep. Do you think this angle was a go-home angle?
You mean, pushing the idea of respect?
Yeah.
It has been kind of Punk's mantra the whole time. Are you saying it doesn't get you fired up enough?
Like,
for the match?
I guess I'm looking forward to the matches because on paper they're going to have a great match. But just from a storyline building point of view, I feel like this should have been the start of the entire feud. Unless this entire lead-in is the start and they're going to feud through the summer. But I kind of feel like this should have been the start of the feud. And then over weeks, you kind of build on this respect in some shape, way, or form, right?
Right.
It just feels weird that now they've done this and then this is leading into their match.
Yeah, I can certainly see that point. I don't know. I guess I didn't think of it as much because really, but Punk has talked about the respect though pretty well in every promo that he's done leading into this, right? Yeah.
I guess my question is to you: is this the culmination of the angle?
Yeah. See, that's I don't know.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's a little bit tougher, but I certainly. It's weird because the way AEW works, a lot of times it's one and done, right?
Like yeah.
You don't get a lot of feuds that continue for a long time. I guess it would really depend what they want for Paige. Do they want to bring him down and cool him off a bit, or do they want to keep him still up in there? Like, You know, I'm sure the conversations, you know, must be interesting because there's arguments for both guys, I think, right?
100%. You know, it's kind of similar to the last time that I co-hosted with you, and it was right before we made that excellent prediction on the on the Danielson Page match. So, you know, there's point, and we're going to get to this at the end of the show because I feel we should do a double or nothing preview. Yeah, exactly.
We'll do predictions at the end. Yeah. Okay, so one other question I have about this too. Jimmy Corderas, in his ref and rant today, talked about he liked this a lot, but he thought it wasn't in the right spot on the show. He thought it should have been maybe something to open or even to close the show. How did you feel? Because I think that's an interesting point, and I certainly agree that it could have been a good final segment as well. So how did you feel about where they placed it? So it is kind of an odd spot.
I think this is kind of like the culmination of Hangman Page's title run so far, is he's just another part of the show. If he's at the start, you get that hot start because it's the start of the show. Everyone's pumped and amped, and you start off with your world title setup. Or you close the show with this because it's your world title setup. So I can see the point on it opening or closing, and I expected that. I guess this is just another kind of notch for those people who say that this is that Hangman Page's title run has been, you know, quote unquote bad because he's just another guy. He's just another spot on the card. This match, this is the thing, Mouth. Without the belt, this is just another match on the card.
You know what? You're right. You're right. I think that's part of the whole issue, and maybe it is time for the change and put it on Punk, because the Page title run has not really been an amazing title run, and it certainly has not really been the focus of the promotion. And I, you know, we've always kind of thought that that was the way they were going to go. That certainly seemed like the Tony Khan approach, right? So perhaps this is it. That's what I'm kind of thinking, is that this is the change. We go with Punk. And maybe we'll start to crowd. Maybe with someone like Punk, you can create that champion that has real presence and does seem like the top guy above everybody else in the promotion.
I think that's part of it, right? And I know we'll get to this after, but Hangman Page right now is at a point where, you know, the buildup was great, and he's huge for the AEW faithful, the yous and eyes of the world, right? But Punk is just a worldwide name. Like, he's known.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say outside, like, every circle knows who CM Punk is. But if you know about fighting, if you know about wrestling, if you know about this little niche world, you know who CM Punk is. So, you know, I think at the time, you know, when AEW started, Hangman Page was a perfect project for them. But now you just need that power, the power name behind the belt.
It's always been, and I think Joe and I talked about this a while ago, it's always been about the presence. I never really thought Page had the presence of a champion, whereas I think Punk has that, and I think they can manifest that in Punk, where you'll actually buy into, like, yeah, he's the top guy right now. This is the top guy.
But I do think there are ways that you can salvage this long term, and we'll talk about that after.
All right. Next up, oh, my favorite, the baddies are out. They recapped how they beat up Statlander, and Anna Jay came out to the rescue. Jade says, are we talking about the girl I already beat? Anna Jay said, I don't get all the BS, the lights, the lawyers, the baddies. Jade said, I beat her ass, and now she thinks she deserves another chance. Anna said after she lost to Jade, she went to the best, like Ruby, Statlander, Sheeta. And now she's ready to be the best and be the TBS champ. Jade said, you better bet on Jade because I'm nothing but money. I have nothing to say except blah, meh. I'm just not a fan. I'm not a fan. I'm not looking forward. This is the one point. This will be bathroom match for me.
And it's going to, I wouldn't be surprised if it's in the buy-in, to be honest.
You think they'll put it there? You think they'll add another match? Another match to the buy-in?
They did last time. Last pay-per-view, they had three matches in the buy-in. So I can see this going in the buy-in.
That would be good, because then you have less chance of picking an obvious worst match. get that out of there. Get that off the main show.
I love it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see. I mean, I don't suspect any. Well, that's a prediction, so shut up, Moth. We'll talk about that later. Okay, Regal comes out. It's commentary time. The Jericho Appreciation Society come out as well. Finally, they're starting to realize that you have to cut the song off. You are heels. You don't encourage people to sing. So it's great now. They come out. They pretty well cut the song right away. And Jericho's telling them all, no, you don't have what it takes to sing it. Like, that's great. That's the way it should have been as soon as they turned heel. And so Jericho and the JAS go to the commentary position as well. So, I mean, we complain about three-man team. Looks like we were going to have like a 10-man team here.
Yep.
But it ends up just being Regal and Jericho, of course, as you'd expect. And this is all because the next match is Eddie Kingston and John Moxley against Private Party. Private Party, where have they been?
Yeah, probably on Dark or Elevation. But they've been doing a lot of those vignettes, right? So,
okay, so this was not a bad match at all. It's the brawlers against the high flyers here. You know, Kingston, of course, he just attacks Cassidy on the ramp right away. Part of the highlight of this match really was, and I'm always not a big fan of Jericho's commentary, but I loved him and Regal actually bantering back and forth on this. It actually worked in this contest, and it kept Jericho from just going, hey, just kind of tends to scream all the time.
Yep.
So I really actually enjoyed them bantering back and forth with each other. Moxley and Kingston really, I mean, just dominated, you know, so much of this match here. Moxley used the cloverleaf on Cassidy at one time. Moxley had Quinn all tied up at one point, and Quinn was even tapping, but wasn't legal, I guess. I guess he wasn't the legal, they weren't the legal guys in the match or something.
Yeah, go figure, them following tag team rules.
That was a weird one. And Moxley gives Cassidy the paradigm shift, and they get the pin. And, of course, the Jericho Admiration Society, Appreciation Society all run down there. They attack him. Regal, love it, just stays back, doesn't get involved. Santana and Ortiz come out. Bryan Danielson comes down to help, so they're all brawling. And, of course, they went after Bryan's leg after the mishap that happened on Rampage last week. It's great, though. They turned a real-life incident and mistake into part of an angle there, yep. So there you have it. That's what we had there.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fine. It was fine for a go home for this match, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, I feel that this match.
Anarchy in the Arena. Yeah. Morris is what they're calling it. Anarchy in the Arena.
I don't know. I feel like this match, you want to put as many people in the pay-per-view as humanly possible. But to me, this is one of the matches that could probably headline a Dynamite.
Yeah. Well, I have a feeling, you know, it's going to be, I think they're going to, you know, it's going to be a sports entertainment style match, I think, because yeah. I think they're going to really play to that and try to do stuff like that. You know, maybe they'll have something where something absurd's happening and Moxley will just come in and, you know, kick the shit out of everybody or something.
I hope it's not too overboard on that. I agree that I think it will be that, but I hope they don't do it to the point where, you know, anyone who kind of observes AEW just to shit talk them gets enough ammunition, right?
Yeah. Well, it is only one match. And you have to remember, too, that is a big part of the AEW strategy, is to give you lots of different styles of matches.
Yep.
Be thankful the whole card's not like that.
Exactly.
Okay, so they had a vignette next for the Owen Hart tournament, both for the men and women. Mark Henry said he knows Owen Hart would be proud. Tony Storm said a few months ago it looked like I was out of wrestling for good, but now I'm close to winning the tournament final. Britt Baker said, I will defeat Tony Storm and go on to win the tournament to prove once again that I am the best. Cole said at Double or Nothing, it will be an undisputed elite final. And Samoa Joe says, how do you beat someone like Kyle O'Reilly? A submission aficionado. I like that. Submission aficionado. He says, but like all fancy things placed amongst the animal, they break down. He goes, and after I'm finished, it's your turn, Adam Cole. And he goes, I'm coming for you, baby. Even though that was just a little bit of Joe, I loved it. I thought the Joe bit was great. So, yeah, just promoting those, you know, semifinal matches. All right. Take a sip here.
Yep. Mouth does his sip of beer. I do my sip of water. Who am I? Drinking water.
Yeah, really. I have a rule with podcasts. I have to have a beer while I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Okay, so next up, Roppongi Vice versus FTR for the Ring of Honor titles. A pretty big match to be having on this show. Once again, but it's the idea that Tony Khan is trying to keep the Ring of Honor name out there, and he wants to keep the brand known amongst wrestling fans. So when he gets to the point where he's going to keep it as a separate entity, he'll be able to do that.
Exactly. Similar to what, like, you know, I guess it only lasted one or two matches, but what they tried to do with WCW way back when.
Right. Yeah. Vince is like, no.
No, nah, fuck this. Hey, no. Question.
So we shot a booger on it, and that was it.
Exactly. So we had a Caprice Coleman from ROH doing commentary.
Yes.
What did you think?
I like it. Right. But I like him. But I've always, like, ever since they put him with Ian Riccoboni, I liked him.
That team is great.
I like the tone of his voice. He knows how to do it. He's gotten better as he's done it. And, like, he mixes in a mixture of, like, telling you about what's going on move-wise and the story. I like him.
Yeah, he's he's really good at doing color. Like, he adds enough to the analyzing of the match, but he also adds his own style of being a former wrestler, where he talks to his experiences at times, and he knows the competitors personally, so he'll bring up cool stories. I really like his style.
Yep, me too. So this was kind of what you would expect with these guys. It was a good match. Did you notice? To me, it seemed the crowd was kind of quiet.
I thought so. A lot of this kind of shocked me.
Me too. Like, I'm like, they don't care about either one of these teams. I'm like, what's going on here?
I think, yeah. So I think, which is weird. I don't know. Like, to me, Roppongi Vice versus FTR, that's a match I would pay a lot of money to watch. That's a match that we would watch at Ted Reeves Arena.
Yeah, that's right, exactly, when they used to do the Ring of Honor shows there. I don't know. I found that really weird because it's funny, too, because with AEW, where most of the time the crowd is really hot, you notice. Like, you notice when the crowd is quiet. And I'm like, this match as well, I'm like, FTR and Roppongi Vice? And they were having a good match. They were working hard. Yep. Both teams worked really well together. Like,
and it hurt the big angle at the end of the match because the crowd was still like, eh.
Yeah, it was weird. I mean, they kind of got into it at the end, but basic story. They worked over Cash for a lot of it in the pick and pick break. Dax gets the hot tag, but again, crowd didn't really seem to react to it. He cleans house. It was definitely, I think part of the match, too, was to get Roppongi Vice back out there and give them some prominence and let it be known that they're a team to be, you know, involved with these other teams. And, you know, we'll put them in with what's supposedly the best team we have and show that they can hang with them. There was actually an FTR chant near the end. I always loved the breakup spots where they do the good ones. There was one of them where Trent had one of them almost pinned, and the other two just fell on top of him, and the whole thing just falls apart. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yep.
And this was interesting because you could probably count it on one hand how many times this has happened in AEW.
Honestly, I can only think of like two examples. Maybe two.
Yeah.
Including this.
all of a sudden, Jeff Cobb and the Great Okan, the tag team, they call themselves the United Empire in New Japan, they run down and they start attacking Roppongi Vice. Totally out of the blue. No one expected this. Big holy shit chant from the crowd. They beat up FTR as well. They gave Dax a doctor bomb outside the ring. The referee threw the match out. So how rare is that, an AEW match that didn't have a pin? And Okan, he uses the Trent. Okan had Trent with the claw. He's like Fritz Von Erich or one of the Killer Kowalski or one of those guys.
Yep.
He's in the claw, and he put Trent through a table.
Yep.
And, so it was crazy. Now, this, I always harp about stuff like this, but their music played. Their music played. Cobb and Okan, they're not part of the promotion. They've never been there before. And then after the big beatdown and stuff, their music's playing. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
That That kind of stuff always, there should be nothing. There should be no music playing. That I don't know why they do that. That bugs me so much.
I know. It's funny. I actually thought of you when that happened because I know how much it bothers you. So this is what I mean about sometimes AEW has ADHD. You have a pay-per-view on Sunday. Yeah, you have Forbidden Door June 26th, and I'm sure they're already thinking about that. But I feel like, and I know that this was an ROH match per se, but I feel like this entire angle could have been done next week. Like, let's set up other matches for the pay-per-view. I just feel like this is a lot happening at once. And the other thing is, I know that you're trying to kind of put over some of the New Japan teams. But if this is the first time that I'm watching this, I'm like, why do I care about any of these guys?
Right. Yeah, I agree that it was probably not the best way to introduce these guys. I would have just, you know, I'm surprised they just didn't do an angle where they said, you know, after Double or Nothing's done, they just start a thing and Tony Khan's like, okay, the door's open and these teams are, and these our performers are going to start appearing here over the next month as we get ready to have this show. I think you're right. That would probably have been a better approach. But I remember a lot when I was a kid and I don't know if it was good or bad then, but I just remember a lot as a kid, especially in the NWA and old WCW, they used to do that quite a bit where they would set things up that weren't part of the next big show and they were just kind of going to let it simmer for a bit. Mm-hmm. So it didn't really bother me as much. The part that was shocking to me was that they had this finish in the match. I was just so taken aback that they would do this because it's so out of their MO. So,
but remember, it's not AEW, it's ROH technically.
Ah, there you go. Do we see these guys at the pay-per-view? Like, do they show up?
Ooh. I can see them.
Maybe
doing
buy-in
something.
Match? Give them maybe a jobber match on the buy-in show.
Yeah, I would. At that point, as long as Will Ospreay walks out with them.
Okay, and my final note, I can't even remember the last time a match ended like that.
Yep.
Okay, so after this, we went to pretty good promo here from Matt Hardy. Well, it was Matt and Jeff together, but Matt did most of it. And this was good. Again, mixing some reality in as well. And Matt's like, you know, Young Bucks, we have similarities. He goes, we both come from loving Christian families. We had humble beginnings and upbringing. He goes, we were all good kids. No drink, no smoking, no drugs. I guess he's just not thinking about later when they both got into drugs really heavily. Yeah. He said, we didn't even curse. He goes, we all had dreams of making it as superstar wrestlers. He goes, but that's where the similarities end. My brother and I broke into the business in the 90s, and it was different then. The brutal, tough roads we had to walk to be a success. You could never, ever have survived that because you two don't have the grit and fortitude that we have. And we've only survived. We've not only survived, but become a legendary tag team. He goes, you are great and you are elite, but when we look at you and when wrestling fans look at you, they see Hardy cosplayers. I love that, the way he calls them cosplayers.
Yep.
He goes, the reason we are in AEW is to cement our status as the GOAT tag team. Jeff said, yes, we're great. And then he actually imitated a goat. He went, great, like a goat. He said, we're not in our prime. We're in our prime overtime.
Overprime, yep.
Our overprime. He goes, the pressure is on for us to win. AEW is my new beginning, reaching its end eventually. But right now, this final run is going to be our best run. Whoa, that's saying something. I don't know. So, Young Bucks, you are nothing more than two little stepping stones on our journey to becoming tag champions to complete our collection of legendary tag team status. Matt finishes and says, You think you're better than us? You'll never be better than us. You have never been better than us. We were better than you as babies, teenagers, at our peak and our prime, and we are better than you right now as we are middle-aged and extreme. He says, Bucks, you may be elite, but we are the delete. And he goes, there's a saying that you should never meet your heroes. They will probably disappoint you. But in your case, young Bucks, you're going to be disappointed because you can never beat your heroes.
I loved that ending. Loved it.
So good. The whole promo was great, man. Like, yep. it really made me want to see the match even more. Yep. I like that they played the heels. You're not even worthy of being in us. You're just little ripoffs. You're cosplayers. I'm like, wow. I thought it was good. Yeah, I liked it. I mean, the story, the angle was kind of just thrown together very quickly, right? And we had this whole run of Big Money Matt, and then all of a sudden that's just bang, zoom, gone to the moon.
Yeah.
And now it's like back, it's Matt Hardy, vintage Matt Hardy now. So, I mean, it wasn't the best kind of setup, but this promo really helped, in my opinion. I was much more excited for this match after Matt's promo.
Yeah, it was kind of similar to the CM Punk Eddie Kingston match, where it kind of just got set up out of the blue, and just a couple promos made you excited. Yeah,
yeah,
that's how I feel about this match.
All right. Okay, so next up, we got a three-way match to kind of preview the tag team three-way for the titles at the pay-per-view. So we've got a member from each team. So it's Ricky Starks against Jungle Boy against Swerve Strickland. This was pretty good, man. They kind of, like, usually a lot of times in these matches, they'll knock one guy out and two guys will work for a while, and then he'll come back in and one of those guys will get taken out and so on. This one wasn't really like that. It was like almost all three guys were in there all the time. So it was really pretty hyperactive. I mean, the opening spot, they're all trying to roll each other up like crazy. Yeah. So yeah, a lot of like neat three-man moves and spots. There was one, I can't remember if this, I think this might have been in a pick and pick, but Starks did this amazingly long vertical suplex of Jungle Boy for a near fall at one point. And of course, you know, obviously a three-man, they're always breaking up the pins when the other two guys are trying. This was another one where the crowd kind of started out quiet, but then this spot kind of woke them up. All three of them are on the post in the corner, and they push Starks off, and Jungle Boy gives Swerve a Hurricane Rana off the top, and Swerve landed on his feet.
Yep.
And that really woke up the crowd. They seemed to all of a sudden get super excited. I was loving seeing Ricky Starks using a Michinoku driver on Jungle Boy for a near fall. And yeah, they definitely got more into it near the end here. Starks, of course, is going for the Rochambeau. I so love that as a move name, the Rochambeau. So great. Starks got the Rochambeau on Swerve, but then Jungle Boy came in from behind and he put the snare trap on Starks. But Starks got close to the ropes, but Jungle Boy pulls him back. But then Swerve kicked Jungle Boy to break that all up. And then Swerve did the Swerve stomp on Starks and got the win. So they gave the win to Strickland. Hobbs comes in after the win. He takes out Strickland. Luchasaurus comes out too. He tried to choke slam Hobbs, but Hobbs fought him off. And of course, this brings out Keith Lee, the other member in the triple tag match here at the pay-per-view. Keith Lee just walked to the ring. Yeah. He didn't seem to sense any kind of urgency here.
Yeah.
He just kind of... well, I see some chaos down there in the ring. Maybe I should go check it out. So I don't know if it's like he doesn't care or he doesn't want to run. I thought that was weird. So he gets in the ring, though. And then it's kind of the three big guys that are in the match that we didn't see. They all kind of face off. Lee tosses both Luchasaurus and Hobbs. And then he does a crazy dive over the top rope onto all of them. And crowd loves it. So... yeah, again, it was what it was. I don't know if I'm particularly excited for this match, but,
this is a match.
It'll be a good match.
This is a match in WWE style where the setup and my excitement level going into the pay-per-view is meh, but you know it's going to be a good match at the pay-per-view.
Yeah, exactly. You know, all six guys are going to work really hard, right?
Yeah.
And they're going to be able to show. I mean, really, it's the first big match for Keith Lee and stuff like that. So
a lot of, and Swerve too, right?
Swerve. So. Even for Hobbs, really, it's probably the biggest match he's been in so far, right?
What about maybe the Sting match, that the cinematic one they did last year? Or no, that was Ethan Page. Anyways, doesn't matter.
Okay, well, next up, everybody's favorite, Dan Lambert. He's with Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky. Lambert says Ty Conti and Sammy Guevara must have a combined attitude of the temperature in the room when the air conditioning is on if they think busting up Sky's TNT title belt gets them the match they wanted. He said, will someone please tell these idiots about the internet and show these idiots to look up America's Top Team, because then they might understand that winning every championship in combat sports means I have every belt maker in the world on speed dial. He goes, I ordered you a new belt before those two could even tweet out a pic of themselves doing some disgusting act with the old one. He goes, Sky, Friday is a big day for you because your new handcrafted TNT belt crafted in your image will be presented to you. So is it going to have like a big picture of his face?
Oh, I'm hoping. It has to be.
I hope it's something really outrageous like that, you know?
Agreed. It has to be.
I guess that's happening on Rampage this week. We'll get to see that, what that belt looks like. But I hope it's just, huge. And you know what? For fun, for the play, they should make it spin. It's Sky's face and it spins. I think that would be pretty funny.
Agreed. So, you know, talking about Rampage, do we know what time Rampage is on this week? Because they originally said 5:30. Originally, they said 5:30. And then they changed it because of all the hockey playoffs. So right now, it's still to be determined. Which
My understanding, it was another one at 7.
Yeah, so actually, let's see. It's been confirmed 6:30. 6:30 p.m. start. There we go.
Okay. Okay, so next up on the programmy here, Tony Schiavone brings out Thunder Rosa. She doesn't have the makeup on this time. I kind of like this. She didn't have the makeup on. She had an amazing giant red cowboy hat on and a bright red jacket. So she was definitely kind of working the Spanish cowboy look here. And she just said that to Tony right away. She brought the attention to her face. She goes, look at my face. I want you to look at my face. She goes, I want everybody to see this face. And she goes, this is the real me. This is the face of someone who has worked for everything she has. She goes, I am so grateful to be the AEW Women's Champion. I never complain because that's not what champions do. She goes, Serena, you are not a champion. She goes, and then, of course, at this point, Thunder Rosa Chan already. She gets a big smile on her face. She says, Serena, you are petty. You point fingers at people and companies. You blame your past and your questionable cosmetic changes. He goes, maybe you should look at yourself in the mirror and blame yourself. Serena, this face used to look up to you, but not anymore. And on Sunday, you won't see this face because on Sunday, the war paint comes out. On Sunday, the warrior inside me will take over. On Sunday, La Meta Meta will teach you a lesson for disrespecting Tony and my mentor Dustin and all of you guys, and especially me, the AEW Women's Champion, Thunder Rosa. She goes, be ready, Serena, because I'm going to beat you and haunt you forever. Again, I thought this was great. I mean,
this promo is what we've been waiting for from Rosa.
It was so good. It was totally her best promo. Absolutely, yeah.
By far. It was so good.
Just everything there. The nice, even just the nice break of not seeing her with the makeup. Like, to me, that was such a great idea. Take it off. This is me. This is the girl that used to respect me, but this is not the girl you're going to see on Sunday. So, yeah.
Yep, I liked it. This is great.
Another one where it actually got me even more excited for the match. Okay, Tony, I think they took a commercial break. They come back. Tony's with Red Velvet. He talks about how Statlander beat her in the tournament. He said he knew she was unhappy, and she said, no shit, Tony. she goes, I was supposed to move on. I was supposed to go against Ruby Soho. And, of course, at this point, Ruby comes in and says, I heard my name. You got something to say to me, Red? And Velvet says, yeah, I do. And she gives her this notebook, and she says, Ruby, this has everything you need to beat Statlander in here. And Velvet says she's got a bad knee and a bad shoulder, and she leaves. And Tony says, well, what about it? And Ruby says, I'm woman enough to admit that in the TBS tournament when I faced Statlander, I won by the skin of my teeth. But on Friday, I know I'm not stepping in the ring with the same Statlander. So I don't need this. And she tossed the notebook. And she goes, but maybe I'll keep some of that stuff in mind. So, yeah, I don't know. It was kind of a weird segment, I thought.
It was like a hint of a heel turn.
For Ruby.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It was weird. It just seems so weird for Red Velvet to just offer this in the notebook. What? What's in the notebook?
Exactly.
Like, what? You wrote down, what, all their moves? Like, what's in the notebook? I don't get
research, it. Research, man. Tape research.
Plays. All right. Okay, so next up was the ladies in the Owen Hart tournament semifinal here. So it's Dr. Britt Baker against Toni Storm. Crowd definitely seemed a little bit more excited with this. They seemed to be more interested in what was going on. They really gave Toni Storm a lot of momentum. I mean, it is kind of her first big match in the promotion. So they really did give a lot of momentum to her. She got to do a lot of stuff in this. She had a leg lock on Britt in the beginnings of the match for quite a while. They go to commercial, though, and Britt takes over. She's beating up Toni outside the ring and stuff. And when they come back, they're exchanging forearms in the ring. Toni got a swinging DDT, but couldn't get the cover because Britt rolled away. Eventually, Jamie Hayter comes out. Britt seemed to act like she didn't like that she was there in that. And they kind of, her and Jamie had some interaction. That gave Toni a chance to roll up Britt, but she didn't get it. Britt kicks out. But then Britt got this swinging neck breaker thingy on, but then Storm kicked out from that. Storm got another DDT on the floor. Hayter gets up to interfere once again on the apron, but Storm just knocks her off, and Toni went for her finish, the air raid crash, but Britt got out of it, sat on top of her, right beside the ropes, and so she was able to hold the ropes and get the pin, and the referee couldn't see it. So Britt wins the match, and she faces either Ruby Soho or Statlander in the women's tournament.
Yeah, this match was fine, I think. Kind of shocked that Toni Storm isn't winning the tournament now. But, you know, what can you do? Yeah, it was fine. I did notice that tension with Jamie Hayter. Maybe they're picking that up again. Because if you remember a few months ago, they were they were doing that back and forth. So it looks like that might be a thing. Maybe Jamie Hayter's going to cost Britt Baker the finals.
Right.
We'll see.
Right.
But, right. There were seeds, and they did point that out, right? So,
okay, so we did a quick promo for Rampage, the aforementioned Ruby Soho versus Chris Statlander. The Young Bucks will be in action, which means a squash match, and we'll also have Bryan Danielson against Matt Sydal, which, you know, will be good. The buy-in they mentioned so far, it's just Hook and Danhausen against Toni Nese and Smart Mark Sterling. And then the pay-per-view, I think we'll save that and just we'll run through it when we do the preview. Yep. Okay, we come back, main event here. It's the semifinal in the men's side of the Owen Hart Foundation Tournament. Samoa Joe versus Kyle O'Reilly.
The
surprise is in a different spot. Never mind. Okay. That's good for all the... nice and confusing for all the people listening the first time. As you'd expect, this crowd, they're hot for this. I mean, these two guys, you know, both well-established workers from a strong Ring of Honor background, you know, they're both going to work really hard. Joe kind of gets control off the top, but then O'Reilly manages to work on Joe's bad shoulder and starts going after that. He gets him in an arm breaker when they go to break, and There was one point that I love this movie. It was so simple. O'Reilly's just doing some strikes and trying to hit on him, and Joe just gets a rolling leg sweep and takes him out and takes over. He did the senton for a near fall, Joe. Joe gave him a nasty lariat for a near fall, which caused JR to go into a a little bit of a dissertation on what it's called. Yeah, it's a clothesline. Yeah, it's a lariat. Yeah. Like,
it bothers me when he does that just because
it's like, it's horrible.
Yeah. It seems so horrible. Unprofessional almost.
It's called this. This is what it's called. Like, yeah. Joe and I have had that rant many times. Joe got him up for the muscle buster, but O'Reilly kind of snaked his way out of it and got the Fujiwara armbar on him. But then Joe made the ropes, and then they get back into it. Joe gets a choke on, and O'Reilly's trying to armbar him, but he actually ends up passing out from the choke. So Joe wins the match, and it's Samoa Joe versus Adam Cole at the pay-per-view. Adam Cole came out at the end. It's perfect. He just stood on the ramp. There was no interference, no touching, nothing. That was the end of the show. And I believe the announcer said Adam Cole and Joe have never been in the ring together.
That's correct. They hinted at it on NXT, but we all know how that went down. So it makes sense that this is the first time they're going to be in the ring together, and I'm really looking forward to it.
It's going to be great. You know it's going to be one of the best matches on the show. So, yeah, there you go. That was the show. I thought overall it was a pretty good show. The thing about them that's great is that in rather than kind of leaving it all to the last show to get you excited, you've already been excited for the last two or three, at least the last two or three weeks. And now this show, and I'm just so ready now. Like, I'm so glad it's this weekend because I'm ready now.
Same. And we still have one more hour, right? Like, there's a whole hour where stuff is going to happen. So let's run down what's going to happen on Rampage. So like we said earlier, 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 3:30 Western. It's going to be an absolutely live show since they're out on the West Coast in Las Vegas. So this is what's on the card. You have Bryan Danielson versus Matt Sydal, Ruby Soho versus Chris Statlander, and the Owen Hart Foundation Tournament semifinals. You have the Young Bucks in action, and Scorpio Sky gets his new TNT title. So that's going to be a pretty fun card. In terms of podcast, so because it's at a weird time and they just recently announced it, you know, it's always hard to book people's times. Real life gets in the way. Yeah. So the podcast is going to be coming out Saturday afternoon, just in time so that you can listen to it and be ready for Double or Nothing on Sunday. So it's the Rampage Ramble for those of you who are listening for free. Every week, it's myself and a new host. Sometimes it's someone from the SNME crew. Sometimes I get a patron. That's one of the perks of being a patron, that you can actually co-host a show with us and chat about wrestling, because that's what we love doing here. Just remember, patreon.com/SNME radio. So that's Rampage this Friday. Okay, so do you want to go through some ratings before predictions?
Oh, have you got them?
Oh, I got them. Okay, I got them.
Get them out. Yep.
All right. The May 25th edition of Dynamite drew an average of 929,000 viewers with 0.35 in the 18 to 49 demographic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, slight increase. Slight increase, so that's good. You know, it's always good with so much sports right now, so much playoff sports, that people are still tuning in for some wrestling.
Well, you know, it's hot, and I think they have enough of a solid base now that it's and plus you're also leading into a big show for the weekend. I think there you'd hope that there would be a bit of a rise in just that curiosity factor of here's the last one before the big show. Let's see what they're going to do or whatever, right?
So Exactly. Yeah. All right. So let's run through the pay-per-view card. I have it in front of me.
All right.
So the buy-in, the only match that's scheduled so far for the buy-in is Hookhausen versus Tony Nese and Mark Sterling.
Well, this is kind of obvious. I would suspect this is the feel-good before the pay-per-view, and then Hookhausen gets the win here. I don't see it going any other way. And, you know, Matt Sterling or Mark Sterling will be made to do some weird, outrageous spot, I'm sure, to make him look silly.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm predicting. All right, so a rumored match. This isn't on the card just yet, but there seems to be a lot of rumors leading towards a Darby Allin versus Kyle O'Reilly match.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Coming, I guess, because neither guy's on the show, right?
Exactly.
that is pretty amazing that this show does not have any Darby Allin. You know,
or Sting.
I didn't think of it because everything's so strong leading into it, but I'm really surprised now that he's not on it.
Yep.
Well, I think it would be a good match. It'd certainly be a good buy-in match. Because, I mean, buy-in matches should be about really getting you to tune in, right?
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
Those two would have a pretty good, yeah, maybe end the buy-in with that match. That would certainly be an exciting match for sure. Yeah. Would you get? That's an interesting one to who you give the win to, because, I mean, O'Reilly just had the loss in the tournament.
Yep. And, you know, Darby Allin, like, this could be the setup to an eventual tag team match with Kyle O'Reilly and
Fish
Bobby against Fish, Sting, yeah, and Darby Allin.
Right.
So I can see the heels getting it.
Interesting. Okay.
Yep. All right. We have the finals of the Women's Owen Hart Cup. Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, versus Ruby Soho or Chris Statlander.
Well, they seem to have the push on with Ruby. And Statlander, I mean, wasn't even in the tournament in the first place to begin with, right?
Yeah.
So I honestly think it's Ruby. I don't think Britt's winning it. This is the push on to get Ruby over, I think.
Yeah, it's been a year now, almost a year,
right.
10 months,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They got to do something with Ruby Soho. And I think that Jamie Hayter does play a part in this to give her the win.
Right. Right, right. Yeah, I could see some. I mean, they certainly tease it. And yeah, they brought it back right in our faces here. So that certainly could be what's going to happen there.
Yep. All right. We have the AEW TBS Championship, Jade Cargill, your champion, versus Anna Jay. And this is the mouth bathroom break match.
Bathroom match, yep. Well, come on. I mean, it's not. You don't even have to make a prediction. Everybody knows Jade's going to win the match. Anna Jay is not going to take the TBS title. They're pushing her so heavy right now. It's friggin' ridiculous. So, you know, yeah. But let's just hope, Boris, old boy, that it's a short match. I liked your idea earlier when you said put it in the buy-in.
It should
put it in the buy-in. Totally put it in the buy-in. Just keep it short. Try to make look as badass as you can.
Yep.
You know?
So the new fucks, because that's what I'm going to start calling ourselves, instead of the old fucks and the new guns, we're the new fucks. Sure. So these are the matches that we want in the buy-in. Jade Cargill and Anna Jay. We want, obviously, the Hook and
Darby
Danhausen.
And Kyle O'Reilly.
And then Darby and Kyle O'Reilly.
Yep. I think that's a good setup.
Yep. All right. We have the AEW Women's World Championship match. Your champ, Thunder Rosa versus Serena Deeb.
Yeah, this is going to be great. They're both such great performers. They both have strong characters. Thunder Rosa is a great babyface. She really connected with that promo on Dynamite. Serena Deeb is a great heel. She's one of those people that she just exudes hatred. Like, you just want to hate her. You know what I mean? Like, it's everything. It's the look, the way she carries herself, the way she talks, even her, you know, she's great. I like her. I think she's an excellent heel. So strong characters established in this, which is great. I wouldn't take it off Thunder Rosa yet.
Agreed.
I would, in fact, but I kind of would like to see the program continue. Like, I hope they don't. I would like to see some kind of finish where that the program could continue somehow, because I think the two of them are going to really do well, and I think it's a match you could work more than once.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with everything that you said there, to be honest. Even the whole Serena Deeb stuff. Even the way she walks to the ring.
It's amazing. Like,
yeah.
She's so good. She's one of those people that just exudes it. She's got what I call the heel gene, right? She's just good. She's just so good at that.
Yep. All right. So Jericho Appreciation Society versus the Blackpool Combat Club, Eddie Kingston, Santana, and Ortiz. In the Anarchy in the Arena.
Right, match. Anarchy in the Arena.
Man, you know what song? Anytime I hear Anarchy, I just think of the Green Jello song, Anarchy in Bedrock.
Oh, yeah, those guys were insane, man. Those guys were insane. What a crazy band. I liked Toucan Son of Sam.
Yes.
That was always my favorite. Toucan Son of Sam. Yeah, I saw them many times
I'm
in
so
the
jealous.
Day. Yeah, I did, because I was writing for a music magazine at that point, and I saw them a bunch of times. And I remember the whole thing where they had to change it from green jello to green jelly and all that, because the jello didn't like it.
Funny enough, like, I was introduced to them in the mid-90s through a video game with their Maximum Carnage song.
That's not surprising they would get their music in a video game. That's hilarious. You should try to find, when they did that first album, they also did a video for, like, every song.
Yeah, I know. I actually have their actual CDs. Like, it's crazy. And it's,
yeah. I think I do, too.
Yeah, Green Jelly, yeah.
Still. Yep. All right, nice distraction there. It's a music. Where were we?
The Anarchy in the Arena match.
Right, okay, so in these type of things, it always seems like Jericho and the boys take the pin.
Yep.
And I kind of think that's what should happen here. I think the Blackpool extended version of the Blackpool Combat Club should get the win here.
Yep, I agree. I agree with you. All right. So this next match I forgot was even on the card.
But yes, until they ran the pay-per-view down. I know, me too. I did too.
And then when I do say it, I need an over-under on how many times the lights are going to go off in this match. That's House of Black versus Death Triangle.
Okay. Okay, so we got to remember these for Sunday. I'm going to say three.
Three? Yeah, I would say three, but just for being different, I'm going to say four.
Okay. I think it's totally in that ballpark. Could totally happen. I mean, we haven't seen Dexter Lumis in like months. He's got to, he's probably released. Dying.
He needs
for
a new
some
job.
Extra work. Yeah, he's dying for some extra work. Yeah, this is unfortunate. I mean, I just can't buy into the House of Black as a gimmick. I mean, the guys are all freaking great performers. This match is going to fucking kick ass. It's going to be one of the highlight in-ring matches of the show, but I don't care about the angle in the slightest. I don't care about the House of Black in the slightest. And it was literally just kind of thrown together at the last minute. The whole thing with Julia Hart, I don't even know what the hell happened there. That seemed to all kind of fall apart. All of a sudden, Pac is back. It's like, you know, so it's going to be wickedly great in the ring, but yeah, I don't care nothing about the story. And I'm guessing House of Black probably wins, but I don't.
That's my guess. All right, AEW Tag Team Championship match. Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, your champs, versus Team Taz versus Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland.
Yeah, you know what? I think they hold on to it. I think they keep the belts because I don't think either team is really ready or it would be good for them to have the tag titles. And I would love to see them get taken by a higher level team.
Yeah.
Like FTR takes them or something along those lines. I don't see any of those teams being big tag teams. You know what I mean? Especially in a promotion where we got a lot of tag teams and stuff.
Yeah.
So I would say leave it on Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. Maybe move this angle ahead, whatever they're planning with Christian, because I think they've been doing a great job planting subtle seeds of Christian turning heel. Let's maybe perhaps get that going, get them against a team of note. You know, I think Joe was adamant. He was very upset with this, and he really wanted FTR.
I know. And
Jurassic Express as this match, right? So, and I agree with them. I think it's time to go. We really should be heading in that direction at this point, I think.
Yeah. So I think the winner of the next match is going to challenge Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus at All Out, because the next match is the Hardys versus the Young Bucks.
Ah, interesting. Yeah. Are the Bucks going to continue to have their ways and put their mentors over? Like, this is a really interesting one, because it's not just about a match. You know, everything, you know, Matt Hardy basically said, it's true. The Bucks totally love the Hardys. Is this, now that they have this company and they're in the position that they can do this, will they treat the Hardys the way they think the Hardys should be treated? Will the Hardys want to put over the Bucks because they're the old guys and they really, you know, are love how they've carried on their gimmick and style and want to put them over? Like, this is a tough one for me to pick, because it could go either way very effectively. And the thing is, though, and then that's the thing, right? You could have the Hardys win, and then maybe they beat Lucha and Jungle Boy, and
just
then they
to
maybe
get
even
this match
get
again.
They get a short run. Give them a short run as tag champs, and then maybe, you know, FTR or someone else takes it from them. I like how I always default back to FTR. We got to get those belts to FTR. But that's a tough one. Bucks versus Hardys, it really is. Like, I really don't know who to pick, because either way, you could work something out.
Yep. Nostalgia says the Hardys.
Right.
You know, the Young Bucks can use a momentum boost right now, because they've kind of been in the middle of the middle card.
That's true. They haven't really been the presence they probably should be, right? But I think that's also good. You have to cool guys down at certain times. But you're right. I think this could be time to start heating them up, right? They have been kind of on the back burner for a while. Yep. So, yeah, that's a good one. Who are you picking?
I'm going to have to go with the Young Bucks.
Okay, so I'll pick the Hardys just to be a jerk.
There we go. All right, the finals of the Men's Owen Hart Cup Finals, or the finals of the Men's Owen Hart Cup Tournament, Adam Cole versus Samoa Joe.
Oh, fuck. Again, another match in the ring that's going to totally kick ass. They'll be hard ass. Joe will be, you know, Joe can take all that stuff. Adam Cole will be able to take all the shots. They'll stand there and exchange forearms. They'll do crazy stuff. Joe will do the friggin', you know, jumping senton on him and stuff. Like, it's going to be great. In terms of who wins, again, it's another tough one. I mean, Adam Cole is pretty strong right now. And Joe, I think, needs a solid, like, I really do think Joe needs a solid win. I don't think Cole needs to win it.
Yeah. And Joe, the other thing
Joe
is,
seems to be more on his own. Like, Joe is one of the few guys that's not associated with a faction.
Yeah.
So I think maybe Joe on his own. I think, honestly, I would go with Joe. I don't think it hurts Cole, because, you know, they're going to have a fantastic match. So I don't think it's going to hurt him. And he's in a pretty strong spot, I'd have to say, Adam Cole. He really is. So, and I think Joe needs it because he's just come in. So that's, I would say Joe.
I agree with
and
you.
And then on the following week's Dynamite, Miro comes back, and we get Joe versus Miro. Woo-hoo-hoo!
That would be insane. So Joe is kind of like the Tanahashi of AEW, where he has no group affiliation, right? So there's that. He does need a big win. And because it's the first Owen Hart Cup tournament, I feel like it should go to a face.
Right. Yeah, well, exactly. That's it for sure. And you can still carry on with the Sanjay Dutt, Jay Lethal, Singh storyline. You can still carry on after that, you know. They could get in Joe's face. Oh, Joe, you think you're a big man. You won this tournament or whatever. And they can still, because I'm loving Sanjay Dutt as a heel manager kind of guy with the cigarette. Or no, the pencil. I love how he keeps the pencil. He's the booker. Like, he's the booker.
That's
the
exactly it. Exactly. That's why I love it.
Well, he worked in that capacity, right? So it's so funny.
It's that subtle Easter egg for us, right?
First time I saw that, I'm like, oh, he's got a fucking pencil behind his ear. I'm like, that is so great. Yep. Yeah. So I'm going to pick Joe.
Same. All right. MJF versus Wardlow.
Wow. I mean, again, this one it's been the great build-up and stuff, but you got to give the people their payoff. Wardlow has to win.
Yep.
He has to win. And MJF, I mean, he's bulletproof. I mean, and he's going to have, he'll be able to totally build himself back up after being beat by Wardlow and move on to another spot, you know, or even, you know, start to move towards Punk, you know, because if Punk wins, I could see MJF moving in that direction. So, but Wardlow definitely needs to win here. Can you imagine, Boris, like, honestly, if they had MJF win, like, even as much as people love him as a heel, oh, man, they want that Wardlow win, man. Like,
it doesn't make sense from a storyline point of view for MJF to win. And AEW rarely does missteps when it comes to building people up like this. Yeah. Right? Like, they're not going to swerve you for the sake of swerving you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So I think we're both on the Wardlow train there. And this leads us to the AEW World Championship, Hangman Adam Page versus CM Punk.
Well, we did talk about it earlier in the podcast, and I really do believe that it is time to – I think it's time to make a switch. I think Punk is the one to put in there. Punk's got the story. Punk can do the media stuff. There is a bit of more recognition for him than someone like Page. And I just think he has more presence. I think you have a real chance for the first time in a long time. Although I guess by this point, Roman Reigns is really kind of the same thing. But you need champions with presence.
Yeah.
You need champions with presence that feel like they're above everyone else. Roman Reigns does feel like that. And that's how Punk needs to feel here. Like, you have to buy in that he really is the man in the promotion right now, and everybody else is going to come gunning for him.
And you know that, like, in any comic convention, any interview for shows he does, he's going to have that belt around him.
Yes. Yes, exactly. He'll be a great ambassador for the title. And yep. he does like to do that kind of stuff, exactly. And he's connected in several different worlds from, you know, like the TV stuff. He was on Heels and stuff like that. Wasn't he on the Green Arrow show too? So he's got that connection. He's got the connection with MMA somewhat, although he probably should
forget that chapter.
Forget that chapter of his career. But yeah, I do think it's time. And that's another one where it's hard to judge how the fans would react. Like you said earlier, there is that hardcore AEW base that really loves Paige.
Yep.
Like, are they going to be upset that much if they took it off him and put it on Punk? It's so hard. It's a tough. That's another tough one. That's another tough one to call. But I think it should go to Punk.
Agreed with you. Now, we were talking about Hangman Adam Page. Here's my prediction that I was going to bring up earlier, and I waited until now. CM Punk wins, turn him heel. Turn Adam Page heel.
Well, he's already kind of going in that direction.
Let's just go balls deep in it.
So what? He beats the shit out of
He Punk loses, afterwards. He's going to hand him the belt, and then he just corks him.
Corks him with the belt instead. Yeah. Then takes off his cowboy boots and he's got spurs on the back. Grabs the spurs.
Exactly.
Forehead or something.
Exactly. And I think the build for a rematch with Adam Page as a heel is going to bring some.
It'd be better. Yeah. You know what? You're right. You're right. Because, again, it's been leading that way. And certainly, like, this Dynamite promo was like, this is the most heel he's been, the promo he just did, right? So maybe that is. Maybe they will actually allow this feud to continue. And yeah, you turn Page heel, and then he has the program, and Punk eventually gets the win. But then you've got Page, and you can have him, fight with other baby faces and stuff. That's interesting. I like it, and I think Page can do it because I really like the way he carried himself in the promo this week.
Yep.
And his character needs that kind of intensity. The laid back thing doesn't work.
It doesn't. It doesn't.
They tried really hard, but it just doesn't work. You know?
It works to a certain extent, and we've seen that extent. We've seen the ceiling of how that laid-back character works. He needs something different as champ, and now if he loses the belt, he really needs something different. I think it's time to change things up with Adam Page a little bit. Just turn him heel, see where this goes.
Be good to turn him heel, and then let him have a solid run, because that was the other part too, even in the build up to him being champion, is we had these gaps that kind of messed with the story, right? We had the gap where he left because his wife was pregnant and he was having a child, so he's gone for a whole chunk. And even just that little gap where he was gone because I think it was of COVID.
COVID, yeah.
That kind of threw the rhythm off. So it'd be good. Turn him heel. It would freshen him up. I think he can do it. I think he showed in the promo this week he can do it. And I like it. I like it, Boris. Good idea. There should be a pencil behind your ear.
I know, right? All right, so that's the card. Double or Nothing this Sunday. If you're a patron, you can be part of the show or after party right after Double or Nothing. If you're not a patron, we'll have YouTube links out for you so you can join in on the fun and watch the show live as it happens. It's going to be fun. I love the after parties.
They're insane.
The AEW ones go late.
That's the thing. The AEW shows, it'll be 4 hours, right? Yep. Five if you, with counting the buy-in, because Yeah, AEW likes to give you the good, solid four-hour show, which is fine because they only do, what, five a year or something?
Yeah, four or five, like yeah.
You know, it's not every single week. So I have no problem with it being a little bit longer, and the card's going to be great. And, yeah, the thing is, we've seen 5 hours of wrestling, and usually pretty good and frantic. So everybody's usually pretty fired up and excited and that. So it yep. might be after midnight, but we'll all be wound. So
exactly. Yeah. We'll be wound. Sure. We'll have our beers from Great Lake Brewers.
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be a freaking great time. Yeah. So that's pretty much the show, but we should run down what's on the SNME network for all our new listeners. All right. So it is Thursday. That means on Friday, we typically don't have a show on Friday, but a show will be debuting very soon. That's a very new show. So on Saturday, we typically have two shows. We have your Smack Daddies with your SmackDown review, and we have the Rampage Ramble, like I talked about earlier, where it's myself and a co-host of our choosing each and every week to chat some Rampage. And I call it the Ramble because we talk a lot about random stuff. All right. And then Sunday, it is the flagship show with Mike McGuire. He runs down the week that was professional wrestling with Dave Meltzer and typically has a panel of various hosts and special guests. So that's always a fun time. This leads us into the week where on Monday, Matt and I present to you BAM. That's Boris and Matt Weekly, where we talk about a lot of sports. And we also, you know,
hey,
everyone.
Dude, Boris, F1. Dude, how good was that race last weekend?
It was awesome.
That was freaking awesome. Dude, three or four different guys led the race.
Yeah,
I know.
Monaco this weekend.
Okay, I'm not so excited about Monaco.
I love Monaco just for the...
Yeah, I understand the pomp and the circumstance, but it's a shit track.
It is.
It's a shit track. That Spanish track was excellent.
Yeah. So we talk a lot about sports. We also talk about, you know, everyone talks about AEW, Impact. Well, even Impact, no one really talks about, but we do. Impact and WWE, or AEW and WWE. We talk about everything. We talk New Japan. We talk Stardom. We talk, everything that shows that people don't watch typically. We talk. We also do retro reviews. So that's Boris and Matt Weekly. It's a fun little show that's the catch-all of professional wrestling and sports. On Tuesday, what show do we have on Tuesdays? I guess Tuesday is kind of like our we have the midweek markout our Raw review with Mike McGuire and Mark Andrada. You know, they talk about their lives. Eventually, they talk about Raw. Wednesday, we have NXT Talk with Matt and myself, where we somehow still watch NXT and, try to make a show out of it.
Yeah, wow. My hat's off to you. It's not as nice as your hat, but my hat's off to you.
Where is my hat? My hat's somewhere here.
They can't see us, Boris.
Oh, yeah, you're right. This leads us into Thursday.
Wear it at the after party.
I will. Yeah. On Thursday, obviously, it's this show. You have AEW All Elite Weekly with the old fucks or the new fucks. Depends on what's going on in our lives that week.
Yeah,
that's every show, SNME Radio, patreon.com/.
Well, there's other stuff, too. Like my music show's in there. Jay puts his trivia show in there. So you get a couple other different shows that are kind of outside of professional wrestling as well. So it's a really nice mixture.
Yep, and you can get all of that for just $5.50 a month. That's pretty much a wrestling show each and every day. Fridays, like I said, we'll have a wrestling show. And let me just say this. The 20th anniversary of TNA is coming up, and we're going to have a retro show. That might be the theme of the new show. We'll see. I guess you guys are going to have to see. But, yeah, that's pretty much everything. Mouth, always a pleasure.
Yeah, man, for sure, Boris. It was great seeing you on the weekend, by the way. Everybody, I know it's been talked about on all the other shows, but yeah, the SNME family got to all hang out together on Saturday night. It was a lot of fun. We had a lot of beers. We sang a lot of songs. We ate some chicken wings and nachos. Yeah, it was a good, fun night. It was fun to see everybody together.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was really cool. Hopefully we can make it out to some Greektown wrestling at Ted Reeves.
Man, I'm so pumped for that. I mean, I like Greektown already. I go to several of their shows. I like going. But the thing that's great about this one, Boris, it's the night before Double or Nothing. It's the night before Double or Nothing.
It's the night before Forbidden Door.
Oh, is it the night before Forbidden Door? Oh, you're right. It's in June. That's right. That's right. It's on the Saturday. And Forbidden Door is on a Sunday, right?
Saturday. It's Friday, Saturday.
Oh, the Greektown show's on Friday.
Yeah.
Friday, Saturday. So I thought Forbidden Door was on Sunday for some reason.
Yeah, it's a Saturday. I only know it's because it's my sister's birthday on Forbidden Door. And I told her, sorry, Vanessa, I'm busy.
You are not going through the Forbidden Door.
Exactly. Oh, and you know what's awesome? Already announced at that Greektown show, it's an appearance with Bret Hart.
Yep. Yeah, Bret Hart's coming in for a signing, so that's pretty cool. The Greektown shows are fun. You know, that's where I first saw Sonny Kiss. Sonny Kiss was a regular on the Greektown shows. RJ City was a regular on the Greektown shows. So, yeah, it's cool. You get to see some of the great Ontario talent on this show. So, and they're always fun. And Ted Reeve, like Boris, I'm an old man. And when I was a kid, like the first wrestling I went to when I was a kid, that's what it was. In the small town I lived in, you went to the local hockey arena and you went and saw wrestling at the hockey arena. And it was like the best. So the first time I went to a Ring of Honor show at Ted Reeve, I felt such nostalgia for when I was growing up because it's the exact perfect setup. An old arena holds about 1,000 people. It was great.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, honestly. That place is a lot of fun. Unless there's this garbage strike in the middle of the summer.
Oh, that was bad. I was at that show. Same. Yeah, all the garbage was at the back of the arena, and it was horrible. Yeah, it smelled so bad. It was super hot. It was super hot the day of the show, remember?
Yep,
and
I remember.
Just the high heaven, yeah.
I just remember Cesaro at the time. I think he cut a promo, like, right by a garbage pile.
Yeah. Probably. It was a mess. Oh, that was so gross. Yeah, that was gross.
Yep, good times. All right, so that's it. Mouth, always a pleasure. Let's anything else to say before we go?
Yeah. But no, we've said more than enough, I think.
Exactly. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Mouth will chat on the weekend. Everyone, stay tranquilo.
So there you have it. That podcast can be delivered to you each and every week right into your inbox, along with all of our other podcasts from Sunday night's main event. We're not just on Sunday nights. We're on each and every day, and you can listen on demand. And along with our wrestling podcast, we also add in a weekly 3-hour trivia show that I host on terrestrial radio across Canada. And we also add in Dan the Mouth Lavransky. Well, he loves two things in life. One is wrestling and the other is music. So we have Dr. Mouth's Rock and Roll Lunch Party for you each and every week as well. Because you know what, guys? There's more to life than wrestling. For all of these podcasts, sign up at patreon.com/SNMEradio. Only $1 a week. Hey, it's a pretty good deal. Patreon.com/SNMEradio. Don't you dare miss it.